Medical marijuana is as much about politics and economics as it is about health. In 1996, California voters legalized medical marijuana when they passed Proposition 215. In 2000, Mendocino County took the issue further when voters passed Measure G, a local initiative aimed at decriminalizing personal marijuana use. Laura Hamburg is a medical marijuana patient and advocate.
What we said as voters is that we want you, when we were talking to law enforcement and to the district attorney, to please make the 25 or fewer plants laws around that your lowest priority. That's not where we want you to put your resources. We're saying as a community, small personal use or medical gardeners, we don't feel that that should be your top priority.
Measure G also directed authorities to continue, quote, enforcement of marijuana laws against those who cultivate, transport, and possess marijuana for sale, unquote. But since that time, some residents say Measure G has created an anything-goes atmosphere with marijuana, and large-scale growers are flocking to Mendocino County to grow dope and get rich.
If you're from out of this area and you came to Mendocino County to make your $1 million, I have two words to tell you. Go home.
That's Mendocino County Sheriff Tom Allman. Some local residents, along with law enforcement, are supporting a local initiative known as Measure B on the June 3rd ballot. It would overturn Measure G and introduce state minimums of medical marijuana, which are 6 plants per patient and 8 ounces of dried marijuana or more if prescribed by a doctor. In Mendocino County, under Measure G currently, people can have up to 25 marijuana plants for personal use. John McCowan is a Ukiah City Council member and candidate for District 2 supervisor.
Well, Measure G is really a hoax because it is not enforceable law. But what it's done is created a perception that says that commercial growing is legal in Mendocino County. This has attracted the commercial growers in. So B gets rid of G and simply puts us back in line with state limits. It doesn't pass any new law. It simply adopts the same standard that is followed by 50 other counties in California.
McCowan says he's supporting Measure B to help address the quality of life issues caused by large criminal marijuana grows. Keith Falder is the former interim district attorney for Mendocino County, and he's opposing Measure B. He says the initiative will recriminalize small-scale growers currently protected by the law.
Measure B doesn't do anything for the people who are violating the law. It takes people who are currently obeying the law. They've gotten their medical recommendations, and they're within the guidelines at 25 plants and 2 pounds. If Measure B passes, all of those people that are currently law-abiding will become felons under Measure B. And I want to prevent that from happening. These are the people that we need to protect, the law-abiding medical marijuana patients that are doing everything they can to comply with the law.
Falder says law enforcement already prosecutes criminal growers successfully.
When you look at the crime stats, and I have in front of me statistics from the Sheriff's Department. This is the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of Mendocino County. They had 43,500 calls for service in 2007. And incidentally, this reporting requirement by the sheriff came about as a part of Measure G. Measure G says, you got to tell us how many marijuana-related arrests and convictions you got. So this is a Measure G requirement. 43,500 calls for service, 333 involved marijuana. That's 0.007% of all of the calls for service in the Sheriff's Department in 2007 were marijuana-related. Of those 330 calls, there were 160 prosecutions and 140 convictions. There were no deaths involved in marijuana. You know, if you made 160 prosecutions from those reports and 140 convictions, Measure G is not your issue.
Allman says if Measure B passes, his office will still target large-scale criminal grows.
If Measure B passes, we are going to have voluntary compliance of people who want to comply with the law that say, you know what, if I grow my 6 plants, no one's going to bother me. And so we're not going to be sneaking under fences and, you know, putting cameras above fences to say, oh my gosh, there are 7 plants there. The sheriff's office is not going to change our tactics. Investigating violent crimes, large grows, methamphetamine, public safety marijuana gardens.
So if the sheriff's office is already targeting large-scale commercial grows, and the DA or district attorney's office is successfully prosecuting them, why the need for Measure B? Growers aren't the only people who can make money from marijuana in Mendocino County. According to the DA's office, this year, Mendocino County law enforcement has raked in $750,000 from asset forfeiture cases. Most of that comes from marijuana. Brian Newman is a deputy district attorney.
Calendar year 2007, we litigated 132 forfeiture actions and caused $1.8 million to be forfeited, and that money was distributed to law enforcement agencies.
And then this year?
So far, about $750,000.
Newman handles the majority of asset forfeiture cases in Mendocino County.
Assets subject to forfeiture are anything that derives from drug trafficking or is used to facilitate drug trafficking. The most common thing that's seized is cash. And the law enforcement officers seize the cash whenever they have probable cause to believe that the money either comes from drug trafficking or is possessed to facilitate drug trafficking. In short form, they think the person got the money by selling drugs, or they have reason to think the person has the money in order to buy drugs to be resold.
According to documents from the district attorney's office, in 2006, Mendocino County was the second highest county in California to seize property through asset forfeiture, totaling an estimated value of $1.9 million. Los Angeles came in first at an estimated $13 million. Mendocino County's total bypass larger per capita areas like Orange County, Riverside, Alameda County, and Contra Costa County. In 2006, Mendocino County disbursed nearly $700,000 in asset forfeiture money, ranking in the top 10 states to benefit from asset forfeiture funding. In comparison, neighboring Humboldt County disbursed $150,000 and Lake County disbursed just over $25,000. Again, Keith Falder.
Mendocino County has one of the highest asset forfeiture rates in the entire state. Just, they're raking in the money on asset forfeiture. And it goes to the district attorney, it goes to the sheriff, it goes to local law enforcement, and then some of it goes to fire protection as well. It's a big moneymaker for the county.
Already one of the top counties in California for asset forfeiture funding, opponents of Measure B say if the law passes, law enforcement could rake in even more money.
Because it's a lot easier to raid and prosecute someone like me than to go after the large criminal commercial growers, which takes a lot of resources. You need a helicopter, you might need flak jackets, you need bulletproof vests, you need SWAT team, whatever. If you come rolling up to my house, you're going to be greeted by Strider, my dog. I'm going to be here alone as a single mother. I might invite you into the garden.
That's Laura Hamburg. She's a medical marijuana advocate, a patient, grower, and caregiver.
I'm growing marijuana because it has medicinal value, because I want to be able to dig in the earth and grow something that will help people, like my mother who had gastrointestinal and stage 4 uterine cancer. And until you have seen somebody laying down bald as a baby from chemotherapy who has been told they have a 20% chance of living a year and they need that marijuana and they're vaporizing it because of the pain and because of chemo, you would say to them, I will get you as much as you need if that's what you need.
Law enforcement raided Hamburg's home and charged her with felony possession of marijuana for sale.
It is so traumatic to me to recall the experience of what happened on October 25th when I was barred from my own house. I was told to get off my property. The marijuana task force and the 11 deputies macheted, hacked, and stacked plants and crushed vegetables and flowers, police were going in and out of my house, I could just peek through a fence with my mother and my father and my sister and watch and do nothing as they came through and did that. And it was really scary to me.
Hamburg says she had 39 medical marijuana plants and 3 recommendations that law enforcement ignored when they raided her home. Despite her recommendations, Hamburg says authorities confiscated her medical marijuana and $10,000 she had in cash. She says the money came from the sale of a car she recently sold and from the father of her child. The courts threw out Hamburg's case because law enforcement ignored her medical marijuana recommendations. Sheriff Allman declined to comment on the case because of ongoing litigation. Hamburg has since filed a complaint alleging sheriff deputies violated her Fourth Amendment rights. Although the district attorney's office has decided not to appeal the court's decision, Hamburg says she still has to go through the courts to gain her property back.
In my example, the charges were dropped, but they still took all my medicine and all my money. Right now, I still don't have any of my money that they took, and I have to fight that on a whole separate track.
Deputy DA Newman.
When money is seized, the person from whom it is seized is given a receipt, and that money, along with another copy of that receipt, comes to my office. If that person doesn't file a claim opposing forfeiture within 30 days, it's administratively forfeit, meaning we don't have to go in front of a judge. If they file that claim form within 30 days, then it has to be a judicial forfeiture, meaning we have to go in front of the court and have a judge order it forfeit.
Newman says most asset forfeiture cases deal with money, not real property. In those cases, authorities give the accused a receipt for the cash that is seized. Former interim DA Keith Falder is also Hamburg's attorney. He says sometimes it costs more to fight for one's property than it's worth.
They're going to have to prove that this was unlawfully obtained. I think they're going to have a very difficult time doing that. But it doesn't stop them sometimes, and I'm not saying it's being done in this case, but it doesn't stop them from dragging it out, so it costs, sometimes through attrition, the cases go away. It becomes a matter of, can I afford to fight this legal battle, this asset forfeiture battle, and is it costing me more to fight for my stuff than I can afford to pay for it? And that's happening a lot here.
Falder, who was against Measure B, ran for district attorney of Mendocino County and lost the bid to the county's current DA, Meredith Lintott. Lintott is endorsing Measure B. She says because it will make her job easier. Falder says she's backtracking for political reasons.
I've got this article from March 17, 2007 from the Press Democrat during the district attorney's debates, and we were talking about Measure G and plant limits, and it was her position on March 17th of 2007 that Measure G's 25 plant limits were the appropriate ones. I said that if the Board of Supervisors changed the plant limits from 25 to 6, it would be in violation of Measure G, and I wouldn't go along with it. Bert Schlosser, the other candidate, said he wouldn't go along with it either. And Meredith Lintott says it makes no sense to have it be different. So when she was running for DA and she thought that the political support was behind Measure G and the 25 plant limits, she was in favor of it.
Lintott says she's since changed her position because of the problems associated with Measure G.
What I have found is with the confusion that's in this area that so many people want to have straightened out. You know, it's to everybody's interest to have these laws easily understood that so we can all be on the same page together. I found that really what the defense lawyers in marijuana cases were doing was playing this number game that ends up being confused. And, of course, at this point in time, what is important is that we deal with commercial growers and that our office be able to obtain convictions regarding people that are engaged in commercial growing versus those people that are involved in growing marijuana for medical uses.
Falder says Measure B will bring in more money to the DA's office and the coffers of law enforcement.
It shows it's a real incentive for people like the district attorney of Mendocino County, Ms. Lintott in this case, to want to make it easier to prosecute people when you can get their assets. So lowering the plant limit from 25 to 6 gives you a greater range of people to prosecute and their assets to seize and then forfeit.
Lintott disputes the notion.
Measure B has absolutely nothing to do with asset forfeiture. what our offices, or what my concern is that we successfully prosecute the cases. I don't, perhaps, you know, everyone is putting forward, it's, you know, all this, there's going to be more prosecutions. I really don't see that that's the goal, and I don't see, that the plant amount is going to be the issue.
Meanwhile, medical marijuana growers caught in the crossfire say things will only worsen if Measure B passes. Again, Hamburg.
I don't believe that as a community that's where we want to go with this. The small personal use gardeners and medical gardeners are arrested and then go through 8 or 10 months of court proceedings and their criminal charges are dropped and perhaps a search warrant was illegal, as it was in my case. In the end, the assets will still be seized from that person. And Measure B will make it easier for the district attorney, Meredith Lintott, to go and prosecute to the mat, to the final finish, the small gardeners, because that takes less resources.
Hamburg says she is too terrified by law enforcement to grow medical marijuana again.
Well, I'm not growing marijuana because I'm afraid to grow marijuana in my own county, in my own backyard, because they wanted to put me in prison for doing it.
Hamburg's not the only medical marijuana grower who's been accosted by law enforcement and whose property was seized. Jim Hill is a medical marijuana patient and grower.
Law enforcement showed up at my home with a search warrant to search my 40-acre farm. They believed that illegal activity was taking place there. They went through it with a fine-tooth comb. They searched every nook and cranny, every shed, every outbuilding, every vehicle. They went through my wife's personal belongings, my personal belongings. They went through all of our private papers. They went through lingerie. They went through everything. And they've seized my bank accounts. They seized my individual retirement account. And arrested me and my wife.
Hill says after authorities didn't find what they were looking for, he still had to fight for his IRA money.
It cost $320 a filing fee, and I represented myself because my case was cut and dry. There was no possibility that was from ill-received gains. But it was a big burden because that money had to go back into IRA. It was embarrassing to go back to the bank and talk to them and say, you know, my bank accounts have been seized, and I know you think I'm a criminal, but I'm not, and I will get the money returned and put it back in my account. They all kind of look at you like, well, that never happens, but everybody always says that.
Hill says marijuana raids are lucrative for law enforcement.
This is about money. This is about asset forfeiture. This is about attacking small growers because their assets are vulnerable instead of attacking trespass grows and public land grows where there are no assets to seize. There's none.
Over the past 10 years, the amount of asset forfeiture has increased by more than 15 times, according to the State of California Asset Forfeiture Reports. In 1997, Mendocino County disbursed $89,000 from asset forfeiture money. That amount increased to $1.7 million in 2007. The more than 15-fold increase comes at a time when the national economy is in a slump. Newman says the amounts have increased because marijuana crime is on the rise.
In 2002, I think the distribution was something around 150,000. And then in 2003, it doubled. And then it increased 2004, 2005, 2006. It got up to 700,000 or 800,000. And then it went to 1.7 million last year. And we're on a pace this year to be somewhere close to that. And I would attribute that to law enforcement seizing more money. I mean, they're identifying the people who are trafficking or bringing the money through, and they're catching them. The focus of law enforcement is catching people who are doing drug trafficking And that's really what they're looking at. They're not saying, gee, I think that car's got money in it. They think, gee, I have reason to think that car is got somebody who's trafficking in drugs in it. And if they find money too, then it gets to be an asset forfeiture case.
Hill disagrees. He says local government has found a way to tax marijuana.
I think that the Board of Supervisors, the Sheriff's Department, are looking of ways to tax medical marijuana producers. And I think this is a type of a tax. I think that they have found a process in which the public is ignorant about, and they have exploited it. Many, many times, patients' expense of retrieving their seized assets is more than the seized assets are worth. So, for example, if they seize $4,000 or $5,000 from you, you can't afford to fight it because it's going to cost you $6,000 to $10,000 to get your $4,000 or $5,000 back. And law enforcement is well aware of that. Well aware of it. If they seize $500, it's going to cost you a $320 filing fee.
Mendocino County Sheriff Tom Allman says county law enforcement does not depend on asset forfeiture money.
Please don't think that law enforcement takes this money and says, what are we going to buy? Ha ha, you know, it's ours. You know, we have purchased additional assets for the sheriff's office above and beyond what the Board of Supervisors gives us in our budget. An example of that would be the digital dashboard-mounted camcorders that are now in every marked unit in the county. And we used asset seizure for that, almost $250,000 worth. But the asset seizure laws forbid the county from using asset seizures to fund the regular duties of law enforcement. So I can't say, well, I want to hire 10 new deputy sheriffs and we're going to pay for them out of asset seizure, because the state's going to say no. And that's a good thing. We don't want to get into the situation where we're planning a budget on money that we haven't seized.
But that money is budgeted for law enforcement. According to Mendocino County budgets, the district attorney and sheriff's office each budget the amount of money they anticipate to obtain annually. According to documents obtained by KZYXNZ in 2005, the sheriff's office budgeted $83,000 from asset forfeiture, but actually raked in over $300,000. The district attorney's office budgeted $50,000 and actually received over $278,000. In 2006, the sheriff's office budgeted $450,000. That same year, Mendocino County disbursed a total of $697,000 in asset forfeiture funding. And last year, that number nearly tripled to $1.7 million. So where does the money from asset forfeiture go? Again, Sheriff Allman.
Quite a bit of this money is put back into the community. It's very important to me. So, let me use sober grads, for example. High school sober grads are very important. Of seeing if we can get through the night of graduation without tragedy. And I'm sending out $1,000 to every high school that's requested it for their sober grad. We're giving money to the Boys and Girls Club. We're giving money to the Youth Project.
According to documents obtained by KZYXNZ last month, the Mendocino Youth Project received $20,000 from the DA's asset forfeiture account. This year, the sheriff's office has handed down $15,000 to various youth projects. In addition, it has spent over $230,000 to fund the county's microwave communications project and the installation of cameras in patrol cars. District Attorney Meredith Lintott says asset forfeiture funding cannot finance salaries, but can finance special projects like web design updates, equipment, and community programs. What about rebuilding the county jail? District Attorney Meredith Lintott.
You know, I wouldn't say no, because I'm doing a comprehensive review of this, but that's just not my understanding at all of where it would go. You know,
okay.
It's not just like it can't be used for salaries. They don't want it to be used, the guidelines, you know, don't want it to supplant what, you know, counties should be doing for their citizens. They want to do things to assist in prosecution and assist in prevention, you know, taking care of our communities. And, you could, yes, you make the argument by having sufficient jail facilities, we're taking care of our communities, but I just don't see that as the direction of where the money goes.
Both the DA and the county sheriff are endorsing Measure B. They say it's good for law enforcement. But Hamburg, a marijuana advocate and medical marijuana patient, says it's the wrong direction.
The assets will still be seized from that person. And Measure B will make it easier for the district attorney, Meredith Lintott, to go and prosecute the small gardeners. I don't believe that as a community, that's where we want to go with this.
For some, it's no coincidence law enforcement is endorsing Measure B. The Mendocino County Sheriff's deputies have paid $1,000 to fund the Yes on Measure B campaign. That's just a drop in the bucket compared to what the office may reap in if Measure B passes. I'm Christina Onnested reporting for the KZYXNZ Community News.